What is going on, everybody? Welcome to a jam-packed preview edition of week eight for the NFL and AFC North talk. We got a big marquee matchup. The Browns are taking. No, I'm just kidding.
it's a nice B game. It's a good B game this week.
No, the marquee matchup is Tennessee at Cincinnati. Also, we got a game going on with Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and the Browns are going to take on the Raiders. A lot of interesting stuff to get at, and I think we're just going to have to jump into some of these matchups this week. And I think we're going to start with the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee coming into this game about 5-1 record, one of the better teams in NFL. Cincinnati, they're working on. They have one win. They're the exact inverse record there. Almost, 1-4-1 at this point. And, you know, they're struggling a little bit coming into this game. But I don't think this is going to be a blowout. But first, we're going to run up the table here. Ace, tell me what you're thinking about this game.
This is not a good game for the Bengals. I mean, they already weren't a good team to start. I mean, I'm not going to say they weren't a good team. But I think that coaching has kind of hurt us. In that aspect, we traded Carlos Dunlap, so that's finally out of the way. Apparently, they're fielding other trade offers right now. John Ross has not shown up to practice today. It's just a situation also where there's a lot of guys on the injury list. We lost Bobby Hart. We lost Jonah Williams. We lost Trey Hopkins. That's literally our line. Joe Mixon hasn't practiced as well. Darius Phillips is hurt now. Like, it's almost at a point where who isn't hurt? And you're going against a team in the Titans that obviously is, you know, pretty strong. So, no, I do not think that this is going to be the week that the Bengals win this football game, unless Joe Burrow is just amazing and has to do every single thing himself, which he tried last week and failed. That's going to be a hard task to ask for him. And then you talk about Derrick Henry. The Bengals could not tackle Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, so I doubt that they would be able to tackle Derrick Henry, especially a guy like that. So we're just waiting to see when the smoke clears. I don't think that it'll be this game that we get that's going to be a win. Maybe it comes after that bye when we start to face some of those weaker teams.
Yeah, and let me get Sonny.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is just – it's going to be one of those matchups, as Quincy calls it, have that booty matchup or something like that. Look, the Bengals, I've been telling this to Ace for like a year. I said, like, the Bengals is one of those teams that had the worst luck with injuries. So some to that, the fact that all the turmoil in the locker room, and then against one of the better teams, and that team coming out of a loss, so looking to get redemption, it doesn't look pretty. I mean, it does not look pretty. And then... I cannot imagine. Look, to be fair, I had tried to get the benefit of the doubt to the Bengals in the past 2 weeks, saying like, if they do this or that, they might be able to win or squeeze. I had nothing. Like, I cannot see a Bengals win at all. Like, I had there's no scenario in my mind that I can see the Bengals winning. But no O-line. Their O-line was bad. Now it goes worse. Defense is pissed off at the coaching staff. There's turmoil in the locker room. I don't know, man. I'm sorry. Yes. I cannot see a dub in this game.
All right, let's go to Tony.
Yeah, I mean, I look, I'm with you guys in that the Tennessee should be the favorite. They should be the heavy favorite. But let's not forget, this is a Tennessee team that wins every game pretty much close. Other than the win they had against Buffalo, that was the only really big win they had. Every other game was within one score. And it's because while, you know, offensively they're very good, much like the rest of the NFL, their defense is just not, right? So they allow a lot of points. They get away with it, though, because they have the best offense in the league right now. And that's where I think this game could be. Look, the Tennessee's probably going to win this game. But is it going to be a blowout? No. And I think when we talk about the Bengals' offensive line, yes, it is true that it's, you know, it's bad. They did upgrade a little bit this week in that they got B.J. Finney, a former Steeler. I think Bengals fans should be somewhat pleased with that trade, the trade coming back from Carlos Dunlap. What's wrong with B.J. Finney? Listen, B.J. Finney, look, he's not going to be any Steeler. He's not going to be a great – no, but he was a good player for the Steelers for many years. I mean, he was a rotational guy on the interior who could come in and play guard or center. You know, when Ramon Foster went down with what looked like a season-ending injury in training camp a couple years back, the Steelers had a basically no-blink attitude there where they said, look, we're going to fill Finney right in. We're not going to go sign someone or, you know, trade or anything like that. So, you know, he's a starter-capable player. Like, he's not going to be an all-pro or anything like that. But, you know, the Bengals and the guys they've been fielding over the past couple weeks. I think he can be, I think he'll be okay in that spot. But the other thing is Tennessee doesn't get pressure. Look, this is not a team in the Tennessee Titans that has a dominant pass rusher. Jadeveon Clowney is the best, is the closest they have. But, you know, Clowney is the ultimate pressure, not sack cut type of guy. So Burrow should have some time to throw the ball. And he's been, look, he's been getting on the same page now with A.J. Green, with T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. They got some weapons in there. And you talk about a Tennessee defense that, you know, again, they don't play much defense there. They don't play much defense in the, you know, pretty much throughout the NFL. So I expect this to be a high scoring game. I could see a world where you know, Cincinnati pulls this one out late. Just because if it's close like that, it's, you know, sometimes these games just come down to who makes a dumber mistake and whatnot. And, you know, Tannehill, I know he's not a mistake guy. We saw that last week. But if he does, I could see the Bengals getting one. But I think, you know, the Tennessee's going to win this game, and likely it'll be close, though.
Yeah, you know, first off, I want to jump on to something real quick. 84 watching right now. We're jumping close to that 100 number. Make sure you like the video if you're watching live, or if you're in the chat, make sure you hit that like button there. And also, if you want to send some super chats to get involved in the conversation, always feel free to do so. Make sure they're appropriate. But yeah, we're going to talk about this week 8 game with the Bengals here. And look, I'm going to kind of come to the Bengals' defense here, because I think the perception of how bad this Bengals team does not match the reality that they actually are. Because let's face it with them. They've played the Ravens, the Colts, the Browns. They're going to play the Titans, and then they're going to play the Steelers. Those are all teams that, as of right now, are pretty good locks to make the playoffs at this point. And the Bengals aren't necessarily a team that we thought were going to be. I thought highly of the Bengals. I did not think they were going to jump off to a hot start this year anyways. So keep in mind the fact that, hey, look, they have had all this turmoil going on. They have played the hardest schedule out of anybody in the North, and they're still competitive. Like, they have not, other than the Baltimore game, they've been competitive against some good teams that are going to make playoff runs this year, either Indy or Cleveland or both. So you have to give credit to them where that's due. I mean, they came into that Cleveland game looking as dysfunctional as possible. They almost pulled that one out. And if it wasn't for some late game heroics by Baker Mayfield and some bad coaching by Lou Anarumo, they would have won that game there. But unfortunately, it didn't go their way. And now we're kind of like doom and gloom for the Bengals. Look, they're not off to a great start. They're going to get done with this tough part of their schedule. They're probably going to lose the next 2 weeks. Spoiler, I'm not going to think they're going to beat the Titans. But I think there are better days ahead for the Cincinnati Bengals. Maybe they fire their whole coaching staff and just start off fresh after they get through this tough stretch and let somebody else take those L's. Maybe they get it going after they play some easier competition. That's a good thing for young teams. But for right now, I just don't think the perception matches reality. As far as this game goes, I think the Bengals are going to do what they've done the last few weeks. They're going to keep this thing within a close margin. But ultimately, they're just not there yet. They're just not mature enough as a team. They're not experienced enough as a team. Joe Burrow isn't there yet as a quarterback. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I mean, he's very high in his rookie evaluations. It's just, there's a level of maturity and of knowing defenses that he just doesn't have yet that really help you finish these games, especially when you get into the red zone, that Joe Burrow doesn't have. And I think that's going to be the main factor in this week's game.
Hey, Quincy, one other thing about this game is you talked about the coaching staff changes that could come. This is going to be the last game before their bye week. So I think if there is going to be any sort of major shift in that coaching staff, whether it be on the defensive side or maybe offensive line, I mean, Zach Taylor could be on the table here. That should happen after this week, you have to assume, if there's going to be anything.
I would like to see something like, I just wish they had better coaches on their staff, because, like, I don't know how I feel about who's going to step in. You know, is it going to be Lou Anarumo stepping in as the head coach going up against Pittsburgh after the bye week?
I would very much enjoy that. I'm a fan.
It will probably, if they do make a move, it will probably be Darren Simmons. He's the assistant head coach now. He was there before Marvin Lewis, and he's just been the guy that's been there the longest if they were to move on from Zach. But, yeah, it's a mess right now.
And honestly, if I'm the Bengals, right, you know you're going to have an easier part of the schedule coming up. I would just say ride this thing out with what you got with Zach Taylor and just wipe a clean slate afterwards. You don't want to get caught up in there. But we do have a super chat from David L. Foster. Says, hey, Quincy, love the Browns analysis. Ace Boogie for the Bengals. You're pretty cool. Tony, like your commentary. Don't love your team. Okay, this is about as nice as we can get.
Yeah, all right.
And sorry, cannot give no love to the Ravens, who left us due to Modell. Yeah, it is like that, man. People don't like the Ravens out here.
It's okay.
But yeah, for the Bengals, like, I think they just need to get a clean slate, you know, for Joe Burrow and everybody else, and just get everybody who's in this building and in this mess out. Yeah. So because right now Joe Burrow's just witnessing a incredible amount of dysfunction that could be worrisome, and you don't want to extend that into his second, third, fourth year, or else you get the Carson Palmer situation where he's just deciding he's done with the entire situation. But we're gonna jump into the second game of the week here. It's my Browns versus the Oakland Raiders. You know, not a matchup that's like real sexy on paper, to be honest with you. It's not really even that interesting of a matchup here. Browns Raiders usually a lot more interesting than that. I'm gonna start with Tony here. Tony, what do you think about this matchup?
I think that this I'm more sure of the outcome of this game than I am of Tennessee and Cincinnati. The Raiders, look, I know I talk about no defense in the NFL, but the Raiders are exceptionally bad defensively. I don't think people realize how bad they are. Not only do they give up 30 points in basically every game. And by the way, I know people are like, hey, Tony, you say don't use points. You're right. So EPA, they're like third worst, and DVOA, they're second worst. Okay, but here's the thing that they don't do that is damning, and it's going to mean the end of them in this game. They can't get pressure. They can't turn the ball over. Okay, so if you can't get interceptions on Baker and you can't get pressure on Baker, and you're going to, you know, this is a guy who just threw 22 straight completions last week. He's going to light you up. And I know people talk about, you know, OBJ and whatnot. Actually, there's this whole thing where he's better without OBJ, which is just silly to me. But, I think, look, the Raiders, where they're going to have success. And one of the interesting things in this game is that the line is actually Browns by 2.5. It's a home game for them. So Vegas has moved the line a half point towards the Raiders. So I may be off base in my analysis here, but I see the Raiders losing. I see the Browns winning and winning big here. The only way I see the Raiders having success is some of the problems that the Browns have had in the secondary, and you know the Raiders' ability to push the ball down the field with a guy like Henry Ruggs. But even then, I don't see how the Browns don't get turnovers in this game, and the Raiders do, and I think turnovers are going to decide this one. So I have the Browns. I think I have the Browns big. I might actually put money on this game because it's a weird line. The Bengals or the Browns are getting 2.5. So I may put money on this one.
By the way, Electric Tyrone says, Tony is one of those rare Steeler fans who was okay. We need to put that in a promo. Tony Cerrito.
Yeah.
Okay. Question.
I'll take it. He's okay. He's okay.
He's okay. Okay. Put that on my testimonials. Yeah. That's great.
He's okay. But Tony, I wanted to add in this just so everybody knows this. Myles Garrett did not practice today because of an ankle injury. Oh. If Myles Garrett does not play, does that change your opinion on what's going to happen in this game?
Yes. Because he's, you know, obviously he's playing on a defensive player of the year level. He's the reason why the Browns lead the league in turnovers right now. They are the most opportunistic defense, and that comes from, you know, how good Myles Garrett has been playing and how well he's getting after the quarterback. So if he doesn't play in this game, that changes then it becomes more of a coin flip for me.
All right. Let's go to Sonny here. Sonny, what are you thinking about this game?
Okay. So for me, this is a game. I'm not like Quincy. I'm sorry. I'm not like Tony here. I don't think necessarily he's big. I think it depends what Baker shows up, right? Second half Baker, if he comes there and plays like that, then yes, Tony, you're right. They have no chance. The Raiders are a horrible defense. You know who's also not a great defense? The Browns. Mm-hmm. And the Raiders do have the ability to with Ruggs and with Jacobs have big plays, right? And score quick. Now, I think it, like on paper, a matchup, this should be a W for the Browns. It should. But there's something about this game that it has me thinking the Raiders might have a shot. And to be honest, it hands on Baker. If Baker plays well, like he doesn't have to be 22 straight completions Baker, right? That's unrealistic. I'm just saying if he plays a clean game. And against Oakland, that is reasonable, right? Oakland, like you said, not a team that puts pressure, not a team that puts turnovers. So if he plays a clean game, I think they win. I think the Browns win by around 10 points. Now, if Baker throws a pick or two, that changes the whole dynamic, right? So for me, this game goes down to Baker. Can Baker be the quarterback? No turnovers. And pick the Oakland apart. That defense is not great. So if he can pick that defense apart, play action, go back to Kareem Hunt. Even without Myles Garrett, they should win. Obviously, with Myles Garrett there, I think they should win comfortably. But without Myles Garrett, if Baker does his thing, I think the Browns should win. Again, for me, is if Baker does, then if Baker goes back to throw interceptions here and there, that's how you allow a team like, for example, the Bengals to be in the game, right? To be leading in the game. So that's the whole thing. For me, Baker plays a clean game. Again, not 22 straight completions, just no turnovers. I think the Browns win.
All right, Ace, what you thinking about this week?
So I think you guys made some great points. Obviously, Oakland, or not Oakland, but Las Vegas cannot stop anyone. And I think that when it really comes down to it, you're really just trying to stop Josh Jacobs, right, and Darren Waller. I think if you concentrate on those two guys, you really essentially shut down the Raiders' offense. The other thing is, what is Derek Carr going to give you? I mean, this team goes as good as Derek Carr is, and he's been solid this season. 13 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's been solid. But I think when you compare it, even with the Browns not having OBJ, I think that this is another hot take. I still think that they have better weapons. I think overall, collectively, when you talk about David Njoku, you talk about the other tight end as well. You talk about You talk about Jarvis Landry. You talk about this offensive line. You talk about Kareem Hunt. They still have more firepower. So if Baker is doing what he did last week, and it definitely depends on if Myles Garrett is going to play or not, because he's definitely going to make game-changing plays as he did in the Bengals game. But when I look at it from that standpoint, they don't have a Denzel Ward over there. They don't have a Myles Garrett. They don't have these offensive weapons. Talent-wise, the Browns have the better team. It may come down to coaching, but Stefanski is a pretty decent coach. I'm not going to say that he's better than John Gruden or anything like that, but he's formidable enough to put up a good fight. And I think that since the Browns have more talent and since they got kind of on a roll last week, that this is going to be a good game. I think the Browns are going to win. I actually think this game is going to be a high-scoring game because the Raiders got their butts whooped against the Buccaneers. So they're not going to come out and just give up immediately. So they're going to put up a fight. But I got the Browns actually winning this one.
All right, guys, before we jump into the super chat by the Trip, shout out to him. We got 127 watching right now. So please make sure you hit the like button so we get that like number up. If that like number gets up, the video gets recommended more and this channel grows and gets even bigger. But we got this super chat from the Trip, who has $2, who says, I'm Raiders by blood, Ravens by heart. 27 seconds. All that says to me is that you were cheering for the Raiders when they were good in the early 2000s, and then you jumped on that Ravens bandwagon right when John Gruden left. All right. All right, Trip, I see how you roll. I'm just kidding, man.
One other thing about this game, because I saw someone in chat say this, that, hey, you know, the Raiders beat the Chiefs, right? They put a 40 on the Chiefs. And that is true. I mean, the Raiders did beat the Chiefs this year, and that's their biggest win of the year. But I want to give credit to whoever tweeted this because it was a great tweet. They said, if you just take 2020 and ignore all division games, this whole season makes a lot more sense. And if you look at like the Browns, right, how the Browns played in every game that's not a division game for them. Well, they're one team when they play outside the division, they're another when they play in it. So I think, you know, that's one thing you have to keep in mind is that division games are very different in 2020.
Yeah. So first of all, when we talk about the Browns this week, there's a lot of goofy stuff that we just need to clear out here. The OBJ stuff. All right. I don't know what it is about Odell Beckham that makes people just lose their minds in either direction, right? Odell got traded to Cleveland. People are like, Baker Mayfield's going to put up Drew Brees numbers. Not really the reality there. We got a couple super chats I'm going to hit before I get into this Odell rant. Josie Browning says, Q, due to Miles missing practice and possibly Trent Brown returning for the Raiders, do you think that that's going to be a big problem pressuring Carr? Hey, look, I got news for you. Even with Myles Garrett, it's going to be an issue pressuring Carr because what teams have done, what the Bengals did successfully, was just put three people on Myles Garrett every play. And yeah, Miles still got 2 sacks, but nobody was winning one-on-one inside, so that's been an issue. The Trip also has another super chat. He says he's born and raised in L.A. Okay, there's a lot of Raiders fans in L.A., but Ray Lewis was my favorite player. Okay. We'll see if that's we have to put that in the appeals court to see if that's a legitimate claim. We got another super chat from Chuck who says Lego Browns, love the show, keep up the good work. Shout out to y'all, man.
Appreciate
shout out
that.
To all this love. Sure. Now I'm finally gonna talk about this OBJ nonsense. All right, so people lose their minds whenever it comes to the OBJ. Like OBJ gets mentioned and people lose their minds. You can usually tell because people are like, you know, Baker was better without OBJ. And there are some football reasons that if we get evidence down the line, you could say, hey, that might be a thing here, right? Maybe Baker's prioritizing more on the entire field instead. But we've got 3 quarters, so it's not enough data. And also, here's the thing that I hate when I see this. It's always Baker's better without OBJ, .. Because OBJ's a diva. Because OBJ's better run the ball. Because OBJ's pressuring Baker to throw on the ball. When has that ever happened? Browns have sucked for like the last, they sucked in 2019. He didn't say anything to Baker. Baker was throwing 21 interceptions. If it would have came out. It would have came out in 2019. That's not who OBJ is. Everybody has this assumption that Odell is this Terrell Owens, Antonio Brown hybrid that he's not. He's just not. He's not. He likes to wear fancy clothes. He does the stuff for GQ, but he's not a diva in that sense. This is the perception of Odell is just so grossly wrong, and that's why I hate some of these narratives that come out after a guy tears his ACL that the team's better than somebody who's one of the top wide receivers in the NFL just a few years ago. It's a ridiculous assumption to jump to after three quarters. The fact that the matter is that Baker was better because Baker's eyes were in the right place pre-snap, right? He was just making the right reads pre-snap. What? No, nah, I ain't gonna read that, Tony. I ain't gonna read that. Don't even put that on the screen. I ain't gonna read that. All right, but you gonna get me like that? You gonna get me? I'm running the show today. But but with Baker, it was a lot of his eyes being in the right place, and quite frankly, it was also a lot of eye manipulation. If you go back and watch the tape, Jesse Bates had a rough day trying to do his thing against Baker Mayfield. That touchdown to David Njoku, I mean, that was akin to a crossover in basketball where Baker just looked him off. Jesse bit all the way hard on the right side of the field, and he just found David Njoku right up the seam. Baker has been playing good. He has been more consistent. He has been staying in that pocket those last three quarters, and that's really been the difference. If he could do those same things against Oakland, I see no reason why he can't move the ball. The things I worry about with this game is Myles Garrett not being there, but less so because Myles isn't going to be able to get pressure. I just worry about the team's ability to stop the run without Myles Garrett occupying that much attention. I don't think a lot of sacks are going to happen this week because John Gruden runs that West Coast offense. They're going to get rid of the ball really quick. And I actually don't mind the Browns' ability to cover that. They did a pretty good job against Indy stopping that kind of an offense, and that's a pretty similar kind of fit there. Derek Carr's a little bit more lively with the ball than Phillip Rivers is at this point in his career. But if you can have a Myles Garrett that does cut down on the amount of deep throws that he can get, and Henry Ruggs, he's going to have Denzel Ward on him, so I ain't going to be really that worried on him. You got to worry about Waller a little bit, but in the red zone, that stuff kind of goes away. So with the Browns this week, it's a game they should win. They're at home. They have a lot of positive momentum. They should win this game. The question always is, and it always will be until they beat a good team, is which team is going to show up. If the team shows up that showed up in the second to fourth quarter, they'll win. You know, I think they're probably, like, Sonny, you were talking about Baker Mayfield a lot. I don't know how good Baker's going to have to be, because I think they're just going to rely on running the ball and playing a lot of ball control here.
And that's what they should do, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if Baker's going to have a big game again there, but if he does, it's certainly in the cards for him. It's certainly possible. But this is a game for the Browns to lose. Not saying this isn't a game that the Browns cannot lose. It's definitely a game they can lose. But we're about at the 25-minute mark here. I want to
Let me add something real quick. I think what you're saying is correct. So what I was saying is, yes, I have been saying this for all four AFC North teams. They all should be predicated from running the ball, play action, then throw. My point is, when it's time for them to throw, that's when I want to make sure in this game that Baker stays clean. That's all. But they should run, because the Raiders cannot stop anybody on the run. Anybody. So control the time of possession, throw play action, easy completions. If you have the time of possession, your defense stays fresh, and then you should just bring an easy dub. That's all.
Yeah, and one thing I think is really important to notice is there's one thing that Baker has been consistent in all year and pretty much throughout his entire career is his red zone efficiency numbers. He's always been pretty good in the red zone as a quarterback. This year, he's been at his best, even better than he was in 2018, where he went like 20-0 at the end of the season. He's now at like 14-0 at this point, halfway through the season. So pretty great numbers there for Baker Mayfield efficiency wise when it comes to the red zone. It's just the ability to get to the red zone has been the issue against Indy and especially against Pittsburgh, where they didn't even make a single trip down there. And when Baker can get to the red zone, when you can run the ball well enough to get Baker to the red zone, you see a Baker Mayfield that's a lot more confident and a lot more deadly in that sense. So a lot of the Browns' offense predicates on their ability to get to the red zone. I know this sounds kind of cliche, but for a lot of offenses, it's not the case. So if they can get there – they're probably going to score a lot, which is good for the Browns. So that's why the run game is so important, because if you get Baker to the red zone, I think everything else kind of takes care of itself here. But we're going to jump into this marquee matchup in just a few seconds. But I also want to take this time to make sure that everybody here hits that like button, hit that subscribe button. We also got a super chat from Kodak 655 who says, who has the advantage, the Ravens secondary or the Steelers receivers? Ooh. Oh, buddy, we'll get to that one.
We're going to get to that one.
And we're going to talk about this game. Relatively big game, I guess, Ravens Steelers coming up here at M&T Bank Stadium. I think the Ravens are finally going to have fans, so they stop having them bad crowd noise games that they were at. It's terrible. I'm so happy they got some people in there, because they were one of the worst in the NFL when it came to the fake crowd noise. But you have a Ravens team that, they lost their one test, I guess, this season against Kansas City. They've been kind of not sputtering because they're 5-1, but for Ravens standards, feeling a little sputtery, not feeling great. If you even take the temperature around Ravens fans, this isn't the same kind of confidence that they had coming into the season. And then on the exact opposite of the end of the spectrum, you got the Steelers who, oh man, if it weren't for that comeback attempt by Tennessee, they'd be coming into this game heads on fire, talking all this yin's garbage, just getting all excited about everything. So we're going to let those two simmer for a little bit. Ace, tell me what you think about this game.
I think that this is going to be a marquee matchup, right? This is what we've been waiting for a while. We really haven't gotten to fully see the Lamar Jackson versus Ben Roethlisberger experience that we really wanted to see, right? Ben missed last year. And since then, these two always have this crazy game when they come together and play each other. And I don't think that it's going to be any different when they play this. I wouldn't be surprised if there were some injuries and stuff like that. And I'm not wishing that on the players, but that's how nasty these games are between these two guys. The good thing for the Ravens is that they were able to get that bye week. And I felt like Lamar Jackson just wasn't right ever since the Bengals game, ever since that knee injury report that they've been kind of playing down. I think that it was good that he got this bye week to rest and essentially get back together. The other thing is they went out and grabbed Yannick Ngakoue, and I have to feel like that was the perfect time for them to do that, with them having a bye week and stuff like that, trying to get him in there. Now, I don't know what the process was, because obviously we're dealing with what we're dealing with in the world right now, and I know that it kind of stops players from getting to those teams as quickly, but I would assume that he's at least going to get some kind of snaps in this game. Like, there's no way that you traded for Yannick and he's just not going to play in this game at all. So even if you put him on a pitch count or whatever it is, I mean, you got to play them in this game, especially against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is really for the division right here. And I think that this is something that's very important with this game. And when I look at the Steelers, the thing that scares me about them in this game is the fact that Ben threw so many interceptions in the last game. And we thought that it was going to be a situation where Ben is different this year. He's looking completely different. He's not giving the ball up, and he does what he did last week. And I think we saw 2 weeks in a row the Steelers be able to escape and hold off bad teams, the Eagles, the team last week. And when you look at it this week, this is the Ravens. So this is going to be an interesting matchup. But I think if Ben makes those mistakes against the Ravens, he's going to learn quickly that you can't do that. And that's why I think that the Ravens are going to win this game, because they've got that talented secondary that can take advantage of those opportunities. They've got Marquise Brown, which the Steelers secondary, for some reason, we thought that it was going to be one of their strengths coming in, was definitely going to be a lot better, but they really haven't been. So even though the Ravens only have two guys, I'm not going to give the Ravens too much love. They still only have Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown. All it takes is one of those guys, like A.J. Brown did last week, to kind of get off on them. And if they can't stop those guys, then that's going to be an issue. But the thing that the Steelers can do to win this game is to get after Lamar Jackson, which the Ravens, they haven't done a great job when it comes to protecting him. So if the Steelers want to win this game, that's definitely key. And it's going to be interesting and an amazing matchup to see, like the guy in the super chat said, these Steelers receivers versus these Ravens corners. What are they going to do with Marlon Humphrey? Who is he going to be on? Like, those are all kind of interesting things. I assume Juju But then what are you going to do with the other guys that are out there? What are you going to do with Deontay Johnson? What are you going to do with some of the other guys that the Steelers have? And I think that that's a real question, because I'm surprised Tony didn't talk about it, but Eric Ebron apparently has finally arrived. And I don't know, what year is it?
We're currently in 2018, Eric Ebron, but next week, you know, again, he shifts. It's you ever watch Dark? He's like the guys in Dark. You know, the time period changes every week.
Right. So we'll have to see what we get from Eric Ebron there. Dez Bryant, I don't know if he's playing or not. No. But I only like if Ben didn't have that meltdown that he had last game against the Titans, I would be going with the Steelers here over the Ravens. But because the Ravens got to get that rest, because Ben made some mistakes in that game, because they have Yannick now, I think that this is going to be and it's also in Baltimore. That was another thing I meant to mention. I think that they're gonna get this one. But I do think that throughout the season, this is going to be a split. But for now, I'm taking the Ravens in this game.
All right. A ton of interest. You look at both of their faces. They're just ready to go.
They're ready to go.
They're in the Greyhound.
Let Tony start.
Bulls off the collar.
I'm going to let them both simmer a little bit. I don't think they're done yet. I think they need to cook a little bit.
I'm ready.
I'm going to throw some grease on the fire here right now, because I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm cheering for the Ravens. And I'm not biased. I'm biased this week. I want the Ravens to win.
Is there anything at stake?
I'm not trying to wear some dusty old stanky ass Steelers jersey ever in my life. All right. So is this game at 4:15? This game at 4:15?
I think it's 1 o'clock.
Why did they do this?
Give you plenty of time to hit the store right after the game to buy the jersey.
Oh God, no, we're not doing that. All right, so look, I'm gonna be watching this game, and I'm gonna be out here rooting for them Ratbirds. We're like, yeah, we're Alan Paul. We about to do this. You know, I'm about to be in the Raven live stream, like, you know, hyping up the team, all that. I'm about to be repping Baltimore,
obviously,
because I can't have it. I can't have a 7-0 Steelers team in my life. Like this, I don't want it. All right. So all that being said, so people are going to say I'm biased. Yeah, I'm biased, but not for the Browns this week. It's definitely for the Ravens. Now, here's what I'll say about the Ravens. They have been sitting back on the back burner, kind of not getting the attention they felt like they've deserved. You know, they're like, hey man, you know, Lamar's not getting any MVP talk right now. He's not playing at that level. You know, people ain't really talking about us as a serious team ever since we lost to Kansas City at home. And the fact of the matter is, now there's this growing narrative that the Ravens can't win the big one. The Ravens can't win these big games. They always choke. They always lose. Now it's definitely on the line here. You play the Steelers in M&T Bank Stadium. We got a super chat from Electric Tyrone who says, no, we're definitely going to lose. I don't know who you cheer for.
Yeah, who does he cheer for
now? Yeah. He's a Ravens fan.
All right. So, you know, they got these narratives coming up on them. And these narratives have existed beforehand. And they kind of have to defend themselves at this point, right, at M&T Bank Stadium. They have not been the offense that they're used to being. They have not been the team that they've been used to being. They really need a big showing here. We got a super chat from Tripp who says, this isn't about skill positions, O-line. It's about O-line versus D-line. I feel the Steelers will win that. Then it will be up to Roman to have a great game. Lamar has been good playing play calling. I think a lot of the blame is going to Greg Roman. Well, I think the execution just hasn't been great by Lamar Jackson, quite frankly, and some of the stuff that they've asked him to do. And I think this is the week where they say, hey, Lamar, we're going to open it up later on. We're just going to trust you to do what you do great, which is that RPO, pull it out, you know, get it to Mark Andrews, work the middle of the field. Like, let's stop trying to make Hollywood Brown a thing, and let's actually be good and get the ball to the good guys on the team, which are your running backs and your tight ends. Like, your wide receivers are Duke. You got Dez Bryant on the Packers squad. Like, it ain't working when trying to get these guys involved, and it's honestly hurting the team more than it's helping, and it's a lot of why that offense hasn't looked good. And against Pittsburgh, I'm sorry, you can't afford that. Now, the one thing Pittsburgh has going for is they've been an elite team against the run, especially against inside zone. So I don't think this is going to be a game where, like, what's it, Mark Ingram is going to have a big game, or J.K. Dobbins.
He may not play. Mark Ingram may not play.
And I think this is going to be kind of pivotal on Lamar Jackson. Is that knee okay? Because they're definitely going to need Lamar to pull that out and run to the outside, because that's the only way you're going to open things up against this Ravens, I mean, the Steelers defense. If Lamar can do that successfully, which I think he can do, I think the Ravens will edge this one out and hopefully start, well, not hopefully, you know what I mean? I ain't going to get carried away, but, you know, start to look like their old selves, start to look like the team that people thought would go 16-0 or repeat at 14-2, you know, start to try to get to that level, because right now they've looked more 12-4-ish than they have 14-2-ish throughout the season. And that's a minimal difference. But if you talk about the team that looks like they could finish 14-2 quite right now, as much as I don't like to say it, it's the Steelers. So
let me see a super chat real quick. Hold on 1 second.
Shut up, Tony. But all right, but that's my thoughts. I think the Ravens are going to win this game. I think the Ravens have the potential to win this game big. I think they're the only team that could win this game big. It's going to be a toss-up. It's going to be a good game. But I think if the Ravens come in, they're focused, Greg Roman comes in, they're focused with the same game plan that worked all of last year, I think they could kind of blow things up and open things up here. And I think Big Ben, going against guys like Marcus Peters and going against guys like Marlon Humphreys, who are ball hawks in that way, we'll have a heavy interception game. This question, this super chat comes from Harry Holland, and then we'll jump into Tony and SCG. And this says, Steelers defense is an A. Baltimore's defense is an A plus. What? Whoa! Come on.
I'm a Ravens fan, but
I know, but I would flip those. I would say the Ravens defense is a B, and the Steelers defense has been an A plus. The Steelers offense is a B, and Baltimore's Ravens offense is a C minus. Tomlin is better than Harv's. Ravens will win. What? Whoa.
Yeah, the math doesn't add up here. I need the equation. Someone write this on a whiteboard for me with the equation. Show your work, because I don't think that adds up for me.
And this next one comes from a Bengals fan, Chef 22504, who says, this game, Pitt will miss Bush. Yeah, because that dude ain't going to the linebacker that got replacing Devin Bush ain't going to be chasing down no Lamar Jackson. So that could be a huge thing. Lamar's going to have a big game on the ground in order to win, and also do his thing up the seam with the tight ends here. But now we know what y'all been waiting for. Tony versus Sonny. We're going to get into this matchup right after. No, I'm just playing.
Commercials now? Play the intro.
who wants to win the toss? Heads or tails? Who wants Tyler, to win the
give
toss?
Give it to Tony. Give it to Tony.
I don't care.
Oh, he's going to defer to the second half, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh, yeah, like Tomlin, we want to start fast. We want to start quick. Get up early. Because as we know, the Ravens can't come from behind. They cannot come from behind. So I'm glad that you guys gave me the opportunity to start early.
You know what? The Steelers cannot beat our backup. So,
okay. Well, luckily, we're playing the starters, where we had intercepted Lamar 3 times last year. So, you know,
we got
some things going for us. Hey, listen. Luckily, but Duck and Mason aren't playing. All right, let's get to the actual. Before we just go back and forth here. This is my actual analysis here. Here's the fun part about this game. It's a huge game, obviously. Steelers Ravens is always a huge game. It was a huge game twice last year, even though Ben Roethlisberger didn't play in either meeting. It is, though, when you look at from a Ravens perspective, right, it is a must-win for them. I mean, this, when we talk about the Ravens, right, and Quince, you hit on this, that they haven't really been hitting on all cylinders, right, but they still consider themselves to be this top team in the AFC, and I think everyone should still consider them to be a top team in the AFC. I mean, they're right in there, right? They're 1, 2, or 3 at this point. We don't know because it's so early in the year still. But if they lose this game, think about where the Ravens would be if they lost this game, right? We talk about they've already lost to the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are, by the way, are playing the Jets this week. So the Chiefs are probably going to win, I would say. So the Chiefs are going to be 7-1. Well, the Ravens would be 5-2 if they lost this football game. That would put them a game and a half back of the Chiefs with already that lost tiebreaker. And if they lost this game, they would be 2.5 games back of the Pittsburgh Steelers for the division. Right. So we start talking about home field advantage and things for the Ravens. I mean, this borderlines on must win, because if they don't win this one, then it means that they have to win that game in Heinz Field on Thanksgiving, and then hope that the Steelers lose a game and they can win a tiebreaker based on whatever it would be, you know, conference record or division record, common games and whatnot. So the other thing that's going to happen, by the way, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. If the Steelers win this game, you are legitimately going to see analysts talk about this Steelers team going undefeated, because when you look at their schedule beyond this football game, you know, it gets a lot lighter from here. But let's focus on this game in general, because this is a strength versus strength game. I love the matchup, because everything the Ravens do well is what the Steelers defend well. And everything the Steelers do well offensively is what the Ravens defend well. Let's start with Baltimore's offense and the Steelers defense, right? The Steelers run defense you know, has gone through this kind of punch out gauntlet these last couple weeks, right? You have the Browns who come in with this rushing attack, great offensive line, but they never really have a quarterback that was ready for that moment. And so it made it easier for the Steelers to just shut down that running game, put it all on Baker. He wasn't ready, right? Well, then they went up against the Titans who have Derrick Henry, similar style of offense in that, you know, they're a downhill rushing team, but Tannehill is very good on play action. And so, you know, that made it more difficult for the Steelers defense to defend. But when we're talking about Lamar Jackson, I mean, this is the boss fight, right? I mean, this is the end of the gauntlet. Lamar Jackson and what he can do, not only with this team rushing the football with guys like J.K. Dobbins, if he starts in this game, or if Mark Ingram is healthy enough to play, but Lamar with his feet, with some of the read option that they do, can be just as deadly. And he can be just as deadly when he drops back as a passer and you leave him a rushing lane. That's why the Steelers can't play man in this game and without a spy. Otherwise, Lamar is going to eat them up. So it's going to mean that this is going to put a ton of stress on the Steeler linebacking core. Specifically, it's going to put some stress on Vince Williams and Robert Spillane, or if it's Ulysses Gilbert on more passing downs, we shall see. But this is where the Steelers are going to feel the loss of Devin Bush. They didn't feel it last week because Spillane was able to fill in, I guess, a more power rushing attack. We had that huge hit on Derrick Henry. That stuff, you know, the huge hit that Spillane put on Derrick Henry is not going to matter much when he's being asked to cover sideline to sideline, read his keys, right? This is a game for the Steeler defense all about fundamentals. Read your keys, make the tackle, be disciplined. If they can't do that, then Lamar is going to get going in this game. And this Ravens offense can put up some points, no doubt about it. I think you're likely, as I said, the Steelers aren't going to play any man. They're man concepts that they like to run. They've kind of, not say they've abandoned them this year, but they're certainly playing more zone already. But they're definitely going to drop into zone in this game. They're going to try and take away the middle of the field. That's how they had success against Lamar last year. They tried to force him to make outside throws. That right now is Lamar's weakness. And so we'll see if he can do that because, you know, we talk about the Steeler corners. That has not been the strength of this defense whatsoever. I mean, Joe Hayden and Steven Nelson have been picked on against lesser quarterbacks earlier in this year. So it makes for an intriguing matchup there because I don't think the Ravens' rushing attack gets going in this game unless it's Lamar. And then this game gets put on Lamar Jackson. Can T.J. Watt, can Bud Dupree, can they get home? But can they get home in such a way that contains Lamar in the pocket while still getting pressure on him and not leave rushing lane? It's a tough ask for this defense, but you know, this is a great defense and they should be up for the challenge. When you go flip it over and you go Steeler offense versus Baltimore defense, well, you know, the Ravens run defense is legit. So James Conner, I don't expect he's going to go off in this game whatsoever. This is going to be a game on Ben Roethlisberger's shoulders. Now, I know that Ravens fans are very excited about Yannick Ngakoue and that he's going to come in and be this new pass rusher for them. I don't know that pass rush in this game is going to have so much of an effect because Ben Roethlisberger gets rid of the ball so quickly, right? And that's why I think, you know, no teams have really gotten true pressure on Ben because he's getting rid of the ball so quick. This is a quick pass offense. But where that may come into play is that the Ravens can do such a good job of shutting that down. We saw the Browns do this in the first in that meeting a couple weeks back where they were jumping routes early on, playing press man early and saying, we're going to jump these routes. You are not going to throw little 5, 6, 7 yard slants over the middle all day on us, okay? And you have to try and beat us down the field. I imagine that is exactly what the Ravens game plan is going to be defensively in this game. So they're going to have the exact same thing. They're going to say, look, we have the best cornerback room in football. Yes, your receivers are good, but we have the best cornerbacks in football. They're going to try and shut that down. And so it's going to be about Ben still being able to get rid of the ball quickly, but doing so in a way that doesn't risk the kind of interceptions that he threw last week or he could have thrown against Cleveland.
Real quick, we got a super chat from Corey Stainbook, who has a question for Tony, who says, for anyone, thoughts on Ulysses Gilbert's that sounds like a Civil War bet, by the way. Back injury
designation. I called him Ulysses Grant for a while, so.
Back injury designation with Devin Bush already out for the season. Love the show. Tony, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Ulysses Gilbert is a tough one because he's the one that came in on passing downs last week. He's certainly the more athletic. When you talk about the kind of sideline-to-sideline linebacker that the Steelers wanted out of Devin Bush, and he was going to be so key to this matchup, Ulysses Gilbert has some of that. Now, obviously not on Devin Bush's level, but if Gilbert can't play in this game, it likely means that on passing downs, we're going to see a completely new look out of the team. I don't imagine they're going to leave Spillane in there. And so does that mean the Steelers go with a more dime-type look? Do they put Sean Davis, the safety they had a couple years back where they brought back in? Or does that mean Marcus Allen, who's a safety-turned linebacker, gets more reps? He hasn't got a single defensive snap all year. I don't think neither has Sean Davis. So if Gilbert can't go, I think on passing downs, that's a big loss for the Steeler defense, no doubt about it.
All right, so we're going to get to Sonny here, Sonny's thoughts on this game. Right now we got 230 people watching live now, so hey, if you haven't, please make sure you hit the like button. We're already over 100 likes. Shout out to Little Ace in the corner right there. What's up, man? But we gonna get to what Sonny has to say about this. Sonny, what are your thoughts on everything that Tony said? What's your thoughts on what the Ravens are gonna do? I know you got the chain. Like, I know you're feeling pretty good about this. So let's hear what you think.
Let me show up for here for a moment. Look at this. It's coming. It's coming next week. Don't worry about it. It's coming.
Anyway. Celebrating before, I'm telling you, very dangerous.
I will agree with Tony on something. This game, I don't know if it's a must-win for the Ravens, but it's definitely more important for the Ravens to win than it is for the Steelers. If the Steelers would have lost last week, it would have been about even. It wouldn't matter who won or lost because there's another matchup. But the Ravens, or the Steelers being undefeated, sorry, Google, the Steelers being undefeated, that provokes that if the Ravens lose this 2.5 games, even if we beat them, we'll just have to pray for somebody else to beat the Steelers. You don't want to give the chances. You don't want to give your faith to somebody else. You want to control your faith. And that's what the Ravens can do. If the Ravens win this week, they will go back to controlling their own faith. And the Steelers, if they lose, man, they will meet us again, right? So for the Steelers, this, if they take an L this week, it's like, okay, yeah, they beat us. Okay, we'll meet them again Thanksgiving, and we can retain this lead, right? Saying that, putting that aside, that this is going to be a great matchup. I'm super, super excited. I think this is a matchup. What Tony said is pretty accurate. Strength against strength. I want to see our corners. The Steelers haven't faced a cornerback room like the Ravens present to them. Second, the Ravens, what you said the Browns will do or did to you guys, that's how the Ravens play, basically. The only time the Ravens basically get Cushing is two. When they're up by a lot, and they're just letting the teams just move the ball a couple yards in and out just to burn clock. Or against Kansas City. Against Kansas City, they were given too much Cushing, in my opinion. But other than that, how they like to play is press. Press and physical. Marlon Humphrey loves to get in people's face. That's what Peters have been doing, right? So they is strength against strength. The other thing that you see is I think they're not going to have Marlon Humphrey shadow anybody. I think they're just going to rotate. Unless somebody's getting beat or getting burned every time, right? And then they might put Marlon there. No. Peter will be fine. Peters will be fine.
Hold on. I want to add something because I do think Tony brings up a good point. I'm going to try to moderate this debate a little bit here. We know what Marcus Peters' strengths are. We know what Marcus Peters' weaknesses are. Marcus Peters is a guy who can jump routes really well, but also he's a guy who, since he can jump those routes really well, is really susceptible to some double moves. And there's somebody who people have been comparing to a young Antonio Brown because of his ability to do these quick breaks. It's Deontay Johnson. It does seem likely that, hey, if Marlon Humphreys is a bigger corner, you're going to want to put him on Chase Claypool whenever he's on the field, or Juju, because those are bigger wide receivers. Deontay's going to see a lot of Marcus Peters and vice versa. What do you think that matchup's going to look like real quick? And then we'll get to the super chat by Garnett West.
A couple things. Tony, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't Deontay the, right? He's a roller coaster.
He wasn't last week.
Last week. And then, you know, second, I think Peters is a savvy veteran. And I do think if they see that Peters having troubles, they will put the safety to help him. I do agree that potentially you will see Jimmy Smith and Marlon Humphrey between Juju and Claypool. They're the bigger corners, the more physical corners. That's the matches that you probably will see the most. And then you might see Peters on Deontay. But I think they're going to rotate. I really do think it's not going to be like you shadow that guy. And here, before I can continue, take Garnett Super Chat.
Yeah, real quick, we got a couple other Super Chats. Snack Yo Bricks. Sent us a shout out right there. Shout out to you, Malty Cushy. Shout out to you, man. I bet you're having a great time watching this video right now, man.
I think Snagio Bricks actually had a question. Snagio Bricks says, do you think the Bengals should trade AJ Green or Ross? And I'm assuming that you're going to ask me. So I don't think that they're going to trade AJ Green. I definitely think that they're going to trade John Ross. I think that's why he wasn't at practice today after practicing, which was weird the other day. He was not at practice today, which leads me to thinking he probably saw what happened with Carlos Dunlap yesterday and was like, I'm out of here too. So, yeah, I do think that we will trade Ross.
Yeah. Send him to Cleveland. We'll take him. We need a deep threat, baby. All right, this one comes from Garnett West. $9.99, $10. He says, if we can attack through the air, he's talking about the Ravens. I believe he's a Ravens mm-hmm. fan. Yeah. This against their weak secondary, we lose. This game is literally on Lamar's throwing, in my opinion. Their weakness needs to be exposed with our weakness, which is ironic. So, Tony, I want to ask you this question real quick, and then we'll get to Sonny. Which team's weakness is stronger?
Which team's weakness is stronger? Probably, no, you'd have to say it's Lamar, right? You'd have to say Lamar, because Lamar was MVP last year. Lamar is a strong, we're talking about a weakness, right? The idea that the Ravens passing offense is their weakness offensively. Well, obviously, you should be more afraid of that than you should be of, you know, whatever, the Steelers secondary, right? Or of the Steelers rushing attack. Lamar Jackson, as a thrower, we saw this last year, can be dynamic. I mean, he was one of the best passers in the league last year. That's what made him so good, is that he was not only the best player with the football in his hand running the football, but he was also a very dynamic passer. And so if the Steelers can't keep him in the pocket and force him into those throws and try to exploit him in that way, I think they're going to lose this game. But if Lamar comes out and just plays like he did last year, where he's able to hit Brown down the field, he's able to make big throws, avoid mistakes, well, then the Steelers are in trouble, because, again, like I said, this secondary is not playing at a level right now where they can shut down a dynamic passer unless they're getting huge pressure.
I imagine, Sonny, you pretty much agree with that sentiment.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, Lamar, and I just want to go to the Super Chat so I can finish my thoughts. So you keep going to the Super Chats.
All right, we got the Triv one who says we will get burned if we blitz too much. He's talking about the Ravens. Hopefully we get confidence by rushing four. Now that Ngakoue is in. Also, I want to see many more Prochet plays. Real quick, Sonny, I want to get your opinion. Do you think Yannick Ngakoue is going to have a marketable effect on this pass rush in just 1 week that he's been there?
I do think he will have an effect. Look, Ngakoue is a dynamic pass rusher that we haven't had for a while. Matt Judon approached 10 sacks last year, and he's good, but he's not great. I'm not saying Ngakoue is T.J. Watt or Myles Garrett. That's not me. But look, we brought a guy that had, this is his career, 8 sacks, 12 sacks, 9.5 sacks, 8 sacks, and this year he has 5 sacks. We did not have a player like that. We were creating pressure with blitzes. If Ngakoue comes, and now we think Ngakoue, Khalil, Campbell, Judon, and Big Baby, we can create pressure between 4 and 5. I will say it now, that game is done. Because the reality is, we have been creating pressure by sending more, which puts your secondary in a tough spot, right?
Yeah.
But if for some reason you can generate pressure without sending blitz, and we will blitz regardless, but if you can generate pressure when you don't blitz, oh, no, the Steelers are in a hell of a trouble now, because you can match up man, but you still have the safeties there and your linebackers to just watch Ben, any staring at the receiver for them to jump their route and potentially getting picks. And then the Ravens are very opportunistic defense, right? This is a Ravens that not only on picks, because they don't have a lot of picks, but on the fumble. I mean, as soon as you catch the ball, I'm sure the Tomlin is saying, yo, you catch the ball, you put two hands, you hug that bad boy, because Marlon Humphrey's coming your way and the others, and they're going to provoke that fumble. And for the super chat here, Codex 655, he says, who's the X factor? There's two, in my opinion. Not only Lamar, it's that interior O-line. I'm okay with my tackle, but my interior O-line needs to step up. Lamar has been getting pressure mostly through the middle of the line. If the middle of the line soft against the Steelers, it's going to be a long game for Lamar Jackson, because outside rush is bad. But outside rush, a quarterback, they don't notice, and this is why they mostly get strip fumbles, because you don't notice. You have the ball off, on the outside, they come and take it. But when you get pressure in the middle, that disrupts your vision, that disrupts your pass, that disrupts your rhythm. So if the Steelers generate pressure through the middle, it's going to be a bad game. It's going to be a tough day for Lamar. So I would say,
can I do my X factor real quick? There's one player I wanted to mention. That's Terrell Edmunds, who was having a very weirdly good year. Certainly for him, he was a guy who gave up 130 passer rating a year ago. 75% of the passes his way were completed. This year, that's down to 50%. He's playing really well. So he's a real X factor for this defense, in that, you know, if they are asking him to either play deep safety or cover Mark Andrews, he's no longer the incredible liability that he's been in coverage in the last couple of years. I think that could be a difference maker in this game as well.
Yeah, we're going to jump to Garnett West here, who's a super chat. He says, also, our weakness is our wide receiving corps, just to let Tony know. Hayden loves reading names tape.
Got it.
Yeah, he's not going to be reading Tyreek Hill name on that tape. Like,
okay.
That. I don't care how bad Joe Hayden has been. I'm pulling for the Ravens this week. Tyreek Hill ain't doing that on him. I'm still hating on Tyreek Hill. I don't care if I'm cheering for the Ravens. It ain't going to be because of Tyreek Hill. It's not. Tyreek Hill had four touchdowns.
Who has more receiving yards in this game, Deontay or Tyreek Hill?
James Washington.
Ooh, I like it.
James Washington with the double moves.
I think this game is going to come down to a couple of things. Ravens O-line. Can they protect Lamar, right? Can the Steelers stop Lamar Jackson on the running position, right? I do think the Ravens might go a couple of times, just go 5-wide and see how the Steelers react.
That's a great plan.
Because right now, that puts the Steelers in a hell of a bad. What are you going to do? Your linebackers are tough for them to cover. You don't have the Devin Bush, right? So you put 5-wide. You have speed and the receivers. The receivers are not great, but they have speed, so you have to respect that. So if you see one of the corners getting beat, Lamar can just throw it out there, right? But if not, and then that pushes the defense back, Lamar now has open field for him to make the play. So I'm expecting the Ravens to put a 5-wide a couple of times in this game. So the Steelers, the ability to shut down Lamar will be big. Can the Ravens protect Lamar and with the middle of the O-line? That will be big. I do think the Ravens will contain the corner or the receivers. The Ravens corners will contain the receivers. I'm not saying they're going to completely shut them down. I'm not here to make that prediction. I think they're going to contain them. But my other key factor is if Ben does what he did against the Titans, the Ravens will take him to the house. The Ravens, if Big Ben throws a pick, or this is not only on Big Ben, if the receivers fumble, and that's how we won that first matchup last time, the Ravens will take it to the house. This is one of the things the Ravens do the most. If you catch the ball, they are geared to punch that ball out. And again, it's not only Marlon, all of them. All of them will push that ball. And again, Ngakoue is also, you can call him an X factor because I think he's having a great season. He's a free agent looking to get paid, right? Judon also trying to get paid. And Calais Campbell, man, last week he came to ball. So if this D-line elevates their gameplay, it's going to be trouble for the Steelers. I have the Ravens winning, but I'm going to have the Ravens winning in a different factor. I think we're going to – this is just my prediction. I think we're going to be winning by 4. Steelers driving down. And your boy, your favorite Raven, Marcus Peters, will pick your boy, Big Ben.
The roller coaster ride hits its peak on that one. I like that.
So we got three Ravens predictions here. We're going to get to Tony's prediction before we get to the super chat. So, Tony, real quick, let us know who you think is going to win this game.
Okay, so I predicted, am I going to make it 4 Ravens predictions on this show? Look, here's the thing. I predicted during this stretch the Steelers were going to go 2-1, right? Now they're 2-0. So in order to maintain that, I would have to pick the Ravens to win this game. But here's the thing. Do I genuinely believe that the Ravens are going to win this game? I don't know. I genuinely believe last week. I was not trying to reverse people saying, oh, you're reverse jinxing, trying not to seem like a homer. No, no, no. I genuinely thought the Titans were going to win that football game. I don't know if I genuinely believe that the Steelers are going to lose this one. I believe in my heart the Steelers will win this one because I don't think that Lamar and this offense is playing at a level yet that they can move the football efficiently enough against the Steeler defense. I could be proven wrong. Obviously, as I said, Lamar Jackson, MVP last year. If he starts playing at that level again, well, the Steelers defense is in for a long day because their secondary is not as good as it was a year ago. I'm going to pick the Ravens, though, because karmically speaking, right, the cosmically speaking, the football gods themselves, are we really going to watch a year in which the Steelers are 7-0 and we're going to start talking about this team being undefeated and, the Ravens on Thanksgiving is the only chance of a team beating? I mean, that's ridiculous stuff. I'm going to pick the Ravens in this one. I don't know that I actually believe in my own prediction here, but I'm going to pick the Ravens.
The Steelers are going to go 14-2, get a bye week, and then they're going to get the bye week, and then they're going to lose to Tennessee in the first game they play. They're going to do the Ravens season from last year. I don't know.
I like it.
Yeah, but this question comes from Multi Cushy, who says, "Who's the best DB in wide receiver battles in the North?" And I also have to ask this question here: who's the best defensive back in the North? Is it Denzel Ward? Is it Marlon Humphrey?
I think it's Humphrey at this point.
I think it's Denzel.
You really? No, I think Humphrey's playing at a higher level. I think Denzel can get there, but I don't think he's at the level where Humphrey is already.
Here's what I'll say though. Denzel has done what he's done this year. He's had a really good year with absolutely no safety help. Like, we've talked about the safety issues with the Browns here. Say what you want about the Ravens defense. Like, they have help all over the place, and especially in the secondary. He has help on the other end. He has help in the back end. You know, yeah. He's just not asked to do as much. And also, when you talk about Denzel Ward, he has the athletic ability to cover some of these bigger guys, but also the speed to keep up with them. And Marlon's biggest problem right now is that he can get burnt. Terry McLaurin, like, it didn't get talked about because Dwayne Haskins was trying to get on the ball and was not successful. But Terry McLaurin kind of tore him up a little bit there. It's just Dwayne couldn't get on the ball. That's why Dwayne Haskins got benched. So I'm not saying Marlon's not a good corner. I'm just saying it seems like Denzel is playing at a higher level right now. And he's asked to do much more.
Marlon's asked to go outside
and inside. That was the only thing. Can Denzel play everywhere?
Denzel can play inside.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Denzel might be able to. He just hasn't been asked to do it.
Yeah. Everything. I mean, Marlon has been asked to do everything in this defense. I think, I actually think best battle, which is the question for me, I love to see OBJ and Marlon. It's one of my favorites, right? I think, and Marlon versus Juju as well, but OBJ versus Marlon Humphrey, I think it's my favorite. I'm biased, obviously, because I'm a Ravens fan, but OBJ and Marlon.
Personally, I'm looking forward to Marcus Peters and Deontay, if that happens.
But if we're talking AFC North, DB wide receiver battles, I think there's only one battle you could truly go with. It's the AFC North wide receiver battle. It's been that way for like 10 years. It's AJ Green versus Joe Hayden. Because these two have gone at it for literally the last decade. And I think AJ Green has not had the number of Joe Hayden at all in these matchups, especially when Joe Hayden was in Cleveland. I remember those fondly. It was the only thing I could remember fondly from that era of football there. But also, we got another multi-cush sending another generous super chat. Thank you for that again.
Appreciate it.
Who's the worst ESPN analysis over the past 3 years? Oh man, this is a bucket of worms.
I forgot the name, but he used to be a QB for the Lions. He's
talking about Brian Orlowski. Yeah.
No, don't say that. I like Orlowski. He told the Bengals to put a winner around Joe Burrow. Don't do that.
I don't like Stephen A. Smith. I don't like none of these. I stopped.
Well, those guys aren't. Those aren't analysts, though, right? Those are provocateurs, right?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, they're more to get guys like us hyped up.
Look, Booger was horrible when Monday Night Football was there. Jason Witten, oh my God, that dude was horrific. Also, anybody Monday Night Football has been bad since Chucky left.
Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to. Has Michael Lombardi been on ESPN in 3 years? I don't think he has, right? Because I really do not like Michael Lombardi. But
they exiled him even off the NFL Network.
I'm trying to think who I really don't like. I mean, I don't watch enough ESPN. There's a lot of guys who I actually respect. Louis Riddick, I think, is very good.
Ryan Clark's really good. I like Ryan
Clark. Ryan Clark, when he's not bashing Minka, he's okay.
He's solid.
Fox is good. Like, you know, they got a lot.
Dominic Foxworth is good. Greenberg?
Mike Greenberg's all stop.
I like Mike Greenberg. I'm not going to say worst 50.
He's kind of vanilla. You know,
of all time. I like Greenberg. I was surprised that he was in there.
I know who it is. Rob Ninkovich. This guy sucks. He's barely on. He's on Get Up every once in a while. He's a former Patriot. This is the guy who was like, hey, if Odell wants to win any more than like 3 games this season, you know, he's got to change his helmet color from orange to anything else. It was like, you idiot. They had 4 games won by the time he said that. Rob Ninkovich is the biggest idiot ESPN lets on there.
What about Ngandi? Y'all like Ngandi?
I don't even know who that is. What's he saying?
I know Kevin Ngandi, but I don't. Ngandi. I don't remember.
They got him number 23 on this worst ESPN anchors list of all time.
I like
Michael Tirico.
Rex Ryan. The correct answer is Rex Ryan. I do not like Rex Ryan's analysis at all. Rex Ryan.
Marcus Spears tends to have some of the dumbest takes sometimes.
Yeah,
he'll just say something goofy when he don't have. Like last year, he was like, "Yo, Daniel Jones is better than Baker Mayfield." That's come on, dog. come on. Like, Baker's not great, but like,
oh, Marcellus Wiley. I think he's on Fox, though. They're saying Marcellus Wiley on the. Yeah.
Oh, Marcellus is awful. I mean, like, we don't even need to dip into the Jason Whitlocks of the world and all those guys who are purposely terrible. The, you know,
They're, like I said, provocateurs.
So, you know, there are a lot of guys out there. Yeah, Rob Ninkovich, and I would agree with that assessment there. But we don't want to dip too far in there. If you have any super chats, get them in right now so they can get answered within the next.
Trip. We didn't 30. Do the trip.
Oh, Trip has one. Which one?
We jumped. Which is not Pop the last super chat.
Marlin's a little worse in coverage, although he's on a team that blitzes. Like, it's going out of style. That's true. I think he's a better all-around corner. It depends on what your team fit is, though. Like, you know, if you need somebody to kind of be a finesse outside guy, I think Denzel Ward's playing at one of the best in the NFL level right now. If you need somebody like Marlin who can kind of do it all, tackle, step up, do some things there and be more physical and also handle more physical wide receivers, then Marlin's your guy. But I think it's kind of a 1A, 1B situation there, and it really depends on your fit. We also got a question from, oh my gosh, I forgot about Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall's pretty bad too.
I haven't seen him. He's bad.
He's on Fox.
But Brandon Marshall is the guy after Odell had that 3-touchdown game in Dallas. He was like, you know what though? If I'm Odell, I'll be mad because they didn't throw me them 3 touchdowns. He had to run for one of them. I was like, all right, Brandon. Okay, we know what your thing is. You're trying to make a mad our fan base mad. But yeah, he talked about the Ravens going without 5 wideouts. Okay, you talked about the Ravens going with 5 wideouts, but do you think the Steelers could do the same?
The Steelers can definitely do the same, but in my opinion, the Ravens have are more equipped to handle 5 wide. I mean, there's no defense that is going to be perfect against 5 wide. That's not a thing. You're not 5 coverage men deep. Right. And the Steelers have 3 really good receivers. Right. And then after that, talent wise, I think if they go 5 wide, I think the Ravens are for the most part okay. I don't think they're perfect. I don't think, like I said, nobody will be perfect against a 5 wide, especially if they're given time. That's the big thing. If you're giving time against a 5 wide, any quarterback, most quarterback will pick them apart. Right. That's the big thing. In the case of the Ravens, the reason why I say 5 wide is because now not only you have the 5 routes to throw to, you also have Lamar Jackson as a runner, right? So there's an extra dynamic against for the Ravens to go 5 wide. I don't know what you're talking.
Yeah, no, I think the counter to that, though, is I would say the Ravens probably don't want to go 5 wide because you expose yourself to Bud Dupree and all these guys in one-on-one matchups, right? Because if you're going 5 wide, you have no one there to chip. You have no one there to help.
Yeah, but I'm okay with my tackles. Again, for me, it's more the interior.
Hold on.
Are you sure? I just don't know that you want to be. Again, we're talking about Cam Hayward and Stephon Tuitt as well. I mean, I don't know that they want to expose themselves.
That's my worry.
I will say this, though, Sonny. The lesson I learned very, very vividly against Pittsburgh was that a good offensive lineman does not really is not going to ever erase a really good defensive lineman. So you can have a really good right tackle in Jack Conklin. TJ Watt's going to win that battle. It's up to your offense to get rid of the ball before he can get there, because defensive linemen on average, I think, just are playing at a higher level than offensive linemen. But I do get what you're saying. You like your tackles there. We're going to get into a super chat real quick, though, okay. Sonny, from Q Money, who says, who has a better QB right now, Joe Flacco or Duck Hodges?
I don't know where my duck. I don't know where my duck mask is. It's definitely Duck.
It's 100%. It's Mr. Flacco. Let me say this. The thing what I'm saying is specifically on the 5, when you go 5, if your tackle gets beat, right? Specifically your tackles, then because it's 5 wide and the field is open, now Lamar can step up and probably just run with the ball. Different in a 5 wide, if the pressure comes from the middle and comes quick, then there's nothing, right? As he's trying to look at the route, if the pressure comes in, he's probably gonna get sacked. This is why I keep saying that interior O-line is critical in this matchup. If Tuitt is eating that interior O-line, I mean, the Ravens are going to be done. They're going to be done.
I do think that spreading out the Steeler defense is a way to have success. I am surprised that no offense yet has tried this, because clearly the weakness of this Steeler team is the secondary. Now, I get that teams are so afraid of the pass rush that they don't want to spread them out. But, you know, look, you look back to some of those times when Bill Belichick did this to some of the better Steeler defenses, where he said, look, we're going to spread you. I'm going to throw the ball every down. I know you have a good run defense. I don't care. I'm throwing the ball every down, and we're going to see what happens. And he had a lot of success. I'm surprised no offense has come out with that game plan. I don't know that the Ravens are going to want to do that in this game. Because again, like I said, because of the pass rush and their wide receiving core is not deep, right? So you're probably going to end up putting out Andrews and maybe Boyle. I don't know, is Boyle out for the year now? Am I remembering that right?
Boykins, you talking about?
No, no, oh, the second tight end. Second tight end.
No. He's good. He's back. Be fine. Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, right, I think. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, Tony, real quick, because we're running out of time here. Q Money asks you if you think Joe Flacco is better than Duck Hodges. So answer that question and then let him know where to find you.
There's not a chance in hell that Joe. By the way, Joe Flacco, I don't know if you guys know the last game that Joe Flacco played as a Raven. He lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was the last time Ben Roethlisberger played in this matchup. It was in Baltimore. Ben Roethlisberger won that game. I don't know if that means anything, but I'm glad we can end on that note. It's positive, a nice positive note here to end the show on. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find me on Locked On Steelers every Tuesday with my good friend Christopher Carter. He hosts that show daily. And so if you're a Steeler fan, you should be subscribed to Locked On Steelers. You should also be subscribed here on AFC North Talk. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell. We go live 5:45 every Tuesday and Thursday. I look forward to talking about this game with you guys on Tuesday.
Monday. Yes, so we're back here on Monday reviewing these games. Also, SCE Sport everywhere else, social medias, and on YouTube. By the way, Sunday at 10 a.m., me and Tony are going to keep this conversation going in my channel at 10 a.m., so go check me out if my internet provider here, I don't even know who it is, allows me. And also, come on, guys, the AFC North Talk, one of the best shows that we have for AFC, anything AFC, come join the talk, subscribe, hit that bell.
All right. Yeah. Make sure you don't miss us Monday. Special start time Monday. Same start time. Special day Monday. We're going to be on there right before Monday Night Football. So pregame with us and check it out there. Don't forget to miss it. And if you're worried about missing it, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you don't. Ace, let me know where to find you.
You can find me at New Stripe City. You can also find me here at the AFC North Talk.
All right, and you can find me at YouTube.com/QuincyCarrier. You can also find me slightly cheering for the Ravens this week because it's a lesser of two evils thing, right? You know, I just don't want to wear a Steelers jersey on this show. I don't want to do it. I'm not trying to buy any paraphernalia. I avoid actually buying anything in that shade of yellow ever in my life. So,
well,
here we go.
You know what player you're going to get yet? Is it Minka? You going Ben? No. You know who you're going yet?
Whatever they got at Burlington Coat Factory. Yeah. That's what I'm going to get. All right. There is a limit to what I'm about to spend. All right. So it might be a Dante Moncrief that I can dig up. I don't know.
I like it.
But again, you can find me there. I want to thank everybody for showing above 200 again, second stream in a row. Thank you guys for showing the support. Thank you for all the super chats. Thank you for chatting politely down in that chat box below. But for me and everybody else, that's it for AFT North Talks preview. Join us for the recap. And boy, that'll be a big one. You don't want to miss it.